What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle in Southern California. I'm Jim Rome, and it is great to be with you on this Thursday. Let me tell you about this program. It's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We have a lot of different ways to go with it today. If you want to take part, go ahead and do so. You can call me, you can tweet at me, you can email me. If you want to lay out and just listen, that's fine also. Lots to get done, starting with your telephone number, 1-800-636-8686. Pick up the phone. Lob me a phone call. Talk to the EP, Adam Hawk. Let him know what you want to talk about. He will put you on hold, and I will get right to you if it's going to make the show better. If you're not sure whether or not you want to call, don't. Just hit me up on Twitter. That works as well, at Jim Rome. And you know you can email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. We're talking college football next segment. I've got P.J. Fleck, the head football coach at Minnesota. That's coming up in 15 minutes. Top of hour number two, we talk NFL with Jason LaCanfora. Top of hour number three, Astros outfielder Michael Brantley. So we are going lots of different directions. Had an amazing podcast yesterday with Michael Young. I want to reset that for you too. And I want to reset your toll-free telephone number, 1-800-636-8686. Let's start with the Patriots. Let's start with the hood. Bill Belichick. Belichick met with the media for the first time after the Antonio Brown lawsuit was filed. And Belichick handled it exactly the way that you would expect him to handle it.
Are you preparing for him to play on Sunday?
We're taking it one day at a time. Just like we always do.
Are you prepared for the possibility that he could be on the commission?
We're preparing for one day at a time.
How much weight would the allegations against him weigh into whether or not you play him on Sunday?
Yeah, I appreciate all the questions, and that's what's been said has been said.
Bill, you brought up Randy Moss yesterday. Do you think that Antonio Brown will require as much attention as Moss did to get him in sync with the team?
Yeah, I didn't say that.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know if he'll require more attention?
No.
How difficult or frustrating is it to have a distraction like this right at the beginning of the season?
We're working on Miami. We're working on Miami. The rest of it is, we're on Miami.
You know, there may have been a time when Bill Belichick said things like, we're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to Cincinnati.
You know, and there may have been a time when people thought that was kind of funny, kind of cool, or that it was just classic hood, old man Belichick, just being locked in on football, always looking to the next thing. Except this isn't that. One of your players, somebody you just signed, has been accused of three separate incidents of sexual assault. Saying you're working on Miami is not going to cut it. Not here. And just because everyone expected that he would handle it like this does not mean that it's okay when he does handle it like this. Like, nobody would be expecting Belichick or any head coach or front office person in that situation to be completely open in a press conference like that. I understand there are ongoing legal issues that he can't discuss, but there are questions that he can answer. And on top of that, he can deal with it in a way that is professional and not the way in which he did it, which is frankly like an a-hole. Like treating every question about the star that you just signed, who's just been accused of sexual assault, is somehow out of bounds or inappropriate. This is your problem now. And if you're pissed off that it's your problem, that's fine. I get that. But it is your problem. And the only people you have to blame for that are yourselves. Roughly 24 hours earlier, you were chastising the media for asking the same questions when Randy Moss was signed. Now it's time to answer those questions. Like, I'm sorry if those questions are awkward or they're uncomfortable, but you don't get to give a long statement about preparing for the Dolphins, grunt a few answers about Antonio Brown, snap at reporters, and then leave in a huff. In other words, do your job. Isn't that what you tell everybody in that building? Do your job. So do yours, Hood. Here's a quick recap of events. Antonio Brown threatens to punch a team official in Oakland. Antonio Brown is released in Oakland. Antonio Brown signs with New England. Antonio Brown is sued for sexual assault. Antonio Brown practices with the Patriots. When that's the timeline, there are going to be some questions, some of which I understand that you legally can answer and some of which you cannot, but all of which deserve more than the grunting and the general smugness that's been applied to the entire process with Brown and the Patriots. I mean, that smugness was weird when he was signed. It's even more weird now that he's been accused of sexual assault. And yes, again, there are questions that can be answered that would not mess with the ongoing legal issues. You know, like the question of whether or not the team knew about this before they signed him. Multiple reporters who are plugged into the league have reported that the Patriots were surprised by the lawsuit. All right, fine. That would indicate that the Patriots, or at least some inside the Patriots, inside, really want the world to know that they didn't know about this before signing him. I mean, reporters have it, right? So they want you to know that. Fine. Say it on the record. Put your name on that. Put your face on that. Make it official. Just say it. We didn't know. Because Brown's agent said yesterday, quote, Antonio and I have been unfortunately anticipating this possibility, end quote, of a lawsuit. So if he said that he and his client were anticipating it, were the Patriots also anticipating it? Did Brown's agent not tell the Patriots? Did they not ask? Or did they ask and did they not care? And Belichick was not alone. Tom Brady was also there to embarrass himself as well.
Getting right to it, Tom. Do you have any comment at all on the Antonio Brown allegations that are out there?
No.
Not a word to say?
Didn't I just answer that?
Do you think it'll be a distraction at all for your team going forward? I know you guys have dealt with so much through your whole career. You personally, the whole team, you've been through stuff like this before, I guess. So how do you put it aside?
I'm just trying to show up and play football and try to prepare. Miami's a good team. I'm going to get ready for them, and things that don't involve me, don't involve me.
First of all, Miami is not a good team. Miami is one of the worst teams I've ever seen. But as with Belichick, it was exactly what you'd expect, right? Nothing. Nothing, and yet it said a lot. Like, you don't get to pretend to be a great leader only in the good times. If you want to be a guy to tweet out hashtag LFG or some other crap, he's the man. But if you want someone to answer tough questions, yeah, that's not happening. In fact, he'll give you a smart response like, didn't I just answer that? And then try to pawn it off with, quote, things that don't involve me, don't involve me.
Things that don't involve me, don't involve me.
Tom. Hey, Tommy. Thomas. They don't involve you? Didn't you invite that same guy to stay in your house? Wasn't that the story? If that's the story, and it's true, that Antonio Brown does involve you. You've involved yourself with him, and he's involved with you. You can't be all about that guy one minute and then claim that he doesn't involve you another. I'm surprised Brady didn't just say, Antonio Brown. Never heard of that guy. Actually, you know what? That name does sound kind of familiar, but I can't quite place it. Look, same thing as with Belichick. I'm not expecting this guy to pour his heart out for a mic, heart and soul, but don't be so completely weird and disingenuous. I mean, shock us. Be a leader about it. Acknowledge that it is concerning news. Acknowledge that it looks really weird that you are 100%, no, 1,000%, no, 1,000,000% in on Antonio Brown. You said as much. And now he's been accused of sexual assault. Say something about how serious the situation is and how concerned you are for everybody involved. And are you still 1,000,000% in on this guy? Because if you are, say that. And if you aren't, say that. Just don't do what you did. Namely, duck out the back at the first sign of trouble. I mean, how is it that the guy who is the smartest, most knowledgeable quarterback ever doesn't know any words here? The guy who tells everybody he has all the answers to the test when he's on the field, but he's got no answers to some pretty basic questions off it. I mean, it's weak. It's weak. Special teams captain, Matthew Slater, for instance, acted like a leader. He didn't say much, but he showed a level of humanity and recognition of the gravity of the situation. Belichick and Brady are acting like it's the biggest hassle ever. Like the people asking legitimate questions were a major hassle. If Belichick did not bring Antonio Brown onto the team, and if Brady did not bring Antonio Brown into his house, allegedly, then it wouldn't be their problem. But they did. And it is. So, be real about it. Your problem is not with the people asking the questions. It's with the answers that you have to come up with. And with the guy you brought in. That's your problem. We're not the problem. 1-800-636-8686. Do your job. Do better. Is anybody really surprised by that? All right, so we'll talk more about that situation, too. The phone line is toll-free, and it's wide open. On a lighter note, I want to talk about one of my favorite NFL quarterbacks, and he's only played one game. Gardner Minshew. This guy's absolutely amazing, and I'm not surprised. Having seen him in college and having spoken to him in college, I'm not surprised that he's showing up the way he is right now with Jacksonville. So we will get to that. Hey, remember when Justify won the 150th Belmont Stakes to lock up that Triple Crown? Remember how awesome that moment was? Yeah, not so awesome now. I will get into whether or not you need to throw an asterisk on this and how horse racing has gone horse racing yet again. We will break that whole thing down. I have thoughts on that story. I mentioned that Michael Young was my guest on episode 95. Of the Jim Rome podcast. Great, great conversation. Yesterday, it's live. Don't listen to it right now, but listen to it after the show. Maybe on your commute, maybe at the gym. I will reset it for you. It is awesome. Week 2's got some great matchups, both in college football and pro football, and I will get to all of that as well. Jason Lockenfor is going to join me in hour number 2. Michael Brantley coming up in hour number 3. PJ Fleck coming up in about 5 minutes. And a tweet or two right now. And Jamie in Green Bay tweets, Belichick's attitude answering questions has gotten old. We get you don't want to be there, but the reporters there are just doing their job. Again, I understand there are certain questions that you cannot answer, but there are certain questions that you can answer and that you should answer, and there's a certain professionalism that comes along with it. Don't just stand there and treat us like we're the problem. Don't just stand there like an a-hole. Do your job. Be a professional.
We're preparing for one day at a time.
At the Suave Canuck tweets, this is exactly why people hate the Pats and despise Brady. What a bunch of douches. There's something to that. The Patriot Nation would say, no, that's not what that is. You hate us because we're so good. And that is part of it. But people also hate you because of that. That's also part of it.
Things that don't involve me, don't involve me.
Yeah, but they do involve you. You allegedly had that guy staying in your house. And that you're 100% in. No, 1,000. No, 1 million. So they do involve you. PJ Fleck joins me when we come back. Stay tuned. Better sleep can benefit basically anybody. This is why Casper created Sleptember. Yeah, you heard me right. Sleptember, an entire month dedicated to rest and relaxation. From outrageously comfortable award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, and duvets, Casper is transforming the way we sleep. The Casper mattress is an award-winning balance of comfort and support. 4 layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort. Zone support is designed to provide extra support to keep your back aligned. And with bedding, bed frames, even now a dog bed. Casper has everything you need to build the bed of your dreams. And rest easy with free shipping and free returns. Get a Casper like I did. Try yours for 100 nights, risk-free. Go to Casper.com, use the code ROME, and get $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code ROME, get $100 off. That's towards the purchase of select mattresses. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Minnesota head football coach PJ Fleck is still on the practice field, so we're going to move him to next segment. 9:40 Pacific, 12:40 Eastern, meaning we've got a phone line or a segment that's wide open right now. Quick reminder, week two of the NFL on CBS begins with an AFC East showdown between the Pats and the Dolphins. Then travel west to watch Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs battle the Raiders in Oakland. It all begins with the NFL today on CBS. In fact, I'm going to make my first appearance of the season on the NFL today on CBS. I will be in New York on Sunday for that. Knocking out a few rants, so I'm looking forward to it. Good to get back to New York City and see the CBS crew. The NFL on CBS, look for that, 12 Eastern on Sunday morning. 1-800-636-8686. So what I'm looking for right here in this open segment is your reaction to the Patriots and Belichick and Brady and how they answer the questions. You know, again, Tom Brady was 1,000,000% in on Antonio Brown only a few days back. But he doesn't want to talk about it now. 1,000,000% in, but practically denying that the guy even exists. Hey, but hey, let's talk about Miami. Let's talk about Miami. They're a good football team.
Miami's a good team.
So, I mean, why don't maybe... I'm flashing back to this interview that I did way back in the day with Will Clark of the Giants. And he was shrill now. Man, he was an amazing player. But I remember I was asking him questions, and he got really agitated. And he's like, why are you asking so many negative questions? And I actually said, hey, Will, maybe you just fill out the questions you want to answer. How about you submit them to me, and I'll just read them back to you? I feel the same way with the Patriots. Like, what is an appropriate time to ask these questions? What is an appropriate time to ask uncomfortable topics or address uncomfortable topics and questions? Let us know. I mean, as an example, has enough time passed for us to ask you about Bob Kraft? Or is it still too soon? Is it too soon to ask about Antonio Brown? Because you had no problem talking about him only hours earlier. No problem saying that you were 1,000,000% in. No problem allegedly inviting him to stay with you. But now it's off limits. Now we're out of bounds. Now we're out of line. How does this work?
Can I just answer that?
No, that's the problem. You didn't just answer that. Dear Jim, I know the Patriots are the media's nightmare. They don't give you any stories other than dismissing questions. It's the same it's always been, and they're handling it. But just because they don't want to make every tiny detail public does not mean they're handling things the wrong way. They don't answer questions from emotions, and that's why they never get bit. Joey in Omaha. Unwar Hawk never giving Jim my emails like Kyle used to. Again, this is not what I'm saying, Joey. I'm not saying. Joey, did you hear what I just spent the entire open on? Joe, is this on? This is a microphone, Joe. Can you hear me? I was very, very clear about this. I understand there are legal issues. I understand they cannot answer every single question. I said that, Joe. And anybody else like Joe? I know this, but there are questions that they can answer, and there's a certain tone and a certain approach and a certain professionalism that you need to bring to it, and that's not what they did. I mentioned their special teams captain did, but their coach didn't and their quarterback didn't. Listen to me, Joe. Maybe that's why your emails don't get read. You're not listening. Thanks, Joey. Yeah! Come on. Let's try San Diego. Dan in San Diego. Good to have you, Dan. How are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. How you doing?
Good. Great. What's up?
I just think it's ridiculous that he may still actually bring this guy into his house. I mean, it's one thing to invite a coworker and try to help out, but, you know, one day later he's accused of some like vile actions like that. I mean, come on, like I'm married. He's not coming anywhere near my house, my wife, my kids. I think that's not even out of bounds. I can't believe a reporter didn't ask it. Anyway, much love from San Diego and LoCal.
You got it, Dan. Thanks so much. I love San Diego. Love San Diego. Listen, to be honest, to be fair, we're not sure that Antonio Brown is at Brady's house. We don't actually know that he's at Brady's house because Brady ducked that question. So I don't know. It was reported that he invited him to stay with him. Brady himself said, I'm 100% in. 1,000% in. 1,000,000% in. And then not long thereafter, he's ducking questions and acting like he doesn't even know Antonio Brown exists. Just asking for a little accountability, a little responsibility, a little professionalism. Just own it. I mean, is this situation, you can answer certain questions. Did you know about the lawsuit before you brought this guy in? If you didn't, just say it. Because at the same time, as I mentioned, Antonio Brown's agent admitted that he and Antonio Brown were concerned about the possibility of that lawsuit. So they knew. Did the Patriots know? Did they know or did they not know? Did they know and did they not care? Are they concerned about it now? Now they know. Now they do know. So are you concerned about it? Any empathy for the gravity of the situation? Jim, why can't for once a reporter just stand up and pull a John McEnroe and yell at the hoodie or Brady? Answer my question. The question, jerk.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Scott and Boise, that'd be pretty awesome. That'd be awesome. Yeah, I'm not sure that there is a reporter that could do that. There's only one John McEnroe. Only one John McEnroe. I mean, have you ever heard anybody on either side say, answer my question, and then emphatically hammer home, the question, jerk?
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. My man. I don't want to say my man's wasted on tennis because I like tennis a lot, but that is amazing. And so is his analysis still. Answer my question. The question, jerk. Scott and Boise.
Jerk!
Gets credit for resetting that. Like I said, there may have been a time when that was kind of funny and kind of cool. Brady, or I should say Belichick with his, we're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to Cincinnati.
You know, something to laugh at. It's kind of funny. Just messing with the media. Not giving us anything. Except as it relates to Antonio Brown, it's not funny. It's not cool. It's not just the hood being the hood. It's not good enough. Do better. Advance Mack, the next time you get a bad caller, don't blame me. Things that don't involve me, don't involve me. Signed, Adam Hawk.
Things that don't involve me, don't involve me.
Stan in Anchorage. I mean, we can even isolate just that point. Brady's response was, quote, things that don't involve me, don't involve me.
Things that don't involve me, don't involve me.
But prior to that, he said, quote, I'm 1,000,000% in with this guy. So you're either 1,000,000% in or it doesn't involve you at all. The same guy. You know, in a matter of hours. Again, how does it work? It doesn't work for me. Certainly not that part of it at all. I'm 1,000,000% in. Oh, that does not involve me, man. Stop asking me that.
Miami's a good team.
And Miami's not a good team. Miami's a horrible team.
We're working on Miami.
Miami's a good team? Then why are you favored? Why were you favored by like 19? Because they're a good team. Did you not watch last week's game? I don't know what's more insulting. Him saying that that doesn't involve me, or that Miami's a good team.
Miami's a good team.
All right. When we come back, we'll try and reset Minnesota head football coach PJ Fleck. Jason Lockin for a top of the hour. CBS Sports NFL Insider. Coming down to the end of the regular season of Major League Baseball, the Astros still look amazing. Michael Brantley joins me in hour number three. Time now for a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Looking ahead to the top of hour number two, Jason Lockenfora, good friend, good colleague at CBS, joins us, break down the NFL. That's coming up in about a half hour from right now. I'm in the process of efforting head coach P.J. Fleck of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and we should have that for you momentarily. Again, if you're joining us late, I opened up the program by talking about the Patriots, Antonio Brown, their approach to Antonio Brown, how badly Belichick and Brady came off yesterday, and where we go from here. I also mentioned that I want to talk about Justify, the Triple Crown winner, and it may be a tainted Triple Crown. I'll lay that out for you. As promised, we're joined right now by the head football coach at Minnesota. He's in his third season with Minnesota, led the Golden Gophers to 7 wins, including a bowl win last season. Minnesota has the nation's longest non-conference winning streak at 17 games. They beat Fresno State in a thriller, double OT Saturday, 38-35. They're 2-0 on the year. They host Georgia Southern Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by P.J. Fleck. P.J., good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing elite, Jim. Thanks for having us on the show.
I knew you'd say that. I knew it. All right, so you're coming off that huge road win at Fresno State. You're 2-0 to start the season. I know you've got Georgia Southern coming up, but take me back, PJ, to Fresno State for a moment. You were going on the road to face a team that won 12 games last year. They gave USC all they could handle in the first week. How did you go about getting you guys ready for that game and for that challenge?
Well, we played them last year as well, and they ended up 18th in the country. It came down to the final play last year at home at TCF Bank Stadium here in Minneapolis, and we knew what kind of team they were going to be. Jeff Tedford's a really good football coach, and we knew they'd be prepared, and we knew they couldn't wait to get us back into their stadium. And it was a tremendous football game. Could have went either way. I think people understand how good Fresno State is, but especially around here, it's hard to be able to say, you know, because they're not Power 5, how good are they? They're a really good football team. And towards the end, I mean, our team showed their courage, their character, and our culture, and they found a way to win. And it was more of a refuse-to-lose mentality than just wanting to win. And we had to rely on other playmakers who maybe haven't made some plays in the past to make them, and they did. And our guys found a way to win.
Minnesota head football coach P.J. Fleck is joining us once again. You know, you find a way to win, and it seems to me also you weren't looking for just a nice comeback and then a loss in overtime. Of course, you trade touchdowns in the first overtime. You kick a field goal to take the lead in the second overtime before Antoine Winfield Jr. ended the game with his interception. What was going through you on that play, and how big of a moment was that for the program?
Well, they made a great play call, and the tight end, kind of a delay, wide delay, comes across the field and then runs a wheel. A lot of NFL teams have it. A lot of college teams have it. We have it. It's a really good play call. And Antoine Winfield Jr. takes a post at the safety position and then passes it off to the other safety and then whirls around and makes the play in the air. It's just an unbelievable play. It does exactly what he's supposed to do. But not only that, high points the football, cuts in front of the receiver, and then not only that, goes down for downtime. But we knew if we could be able to get him to throw the football, we'd be able to hopefully be able to make a play in the air. And our playmakers stepped up and made plays. You know, you need your players and your leaders and your best players to come through in the biggest moments. And Antoine Winfield Jr. is one of our best players, and he came through in that moment.
It's not like he hasn't done it before. In fact, that's the second straight year that Winfield's had a huge play against Fresno State. He has battled some injuries over the past 2 years. So what's it say about him that he keeps on fighting to get better and to play with his teammates?
Well, that's what Row the Boat's all about. It's just a never-give-up type mentality, his resiliency, the type of player he is. He comes from NFL bloodlines. You know, his father played so long in the NFL. So he understands football's part, being hurt's part of football. And you go through different things like that in football, and sometimes that happens to you. His response has just been absolutely incredible. It's been inspiring for our football team. And when he's on the field, we're a way better football team. And he knows that. Our players know that. And the play he made last week was unbelievable. Last year was unbelievable. But when you talk about Fresno, I mean, this is a team that beat UCLA, that beat Arizona State, that came down to almost beating USC 2 weeks ago, almost beating us. Very, very good football team.
P.J. Fleck joining us. You mentioned Row the Boat. You know, I'd ask you what's better than coming on the road or going on the road, coming from behind, winning a game in double OT. But how great is it then to go back to the locker room, celebrate with your team, and have John Legend join you guys to crowd surf and yell, "Row the Boat"? What was that like?
Yeah, well, we didn't tell our team that he was coming. Michael Brown Stevens is his nephew who's on our football team. And You know, we got it all through compliance and the NCAA about John Legend being there and different things that he would have to need. And so, but I didn't really tell our team that because I didn't want the added pressure of some type of celebrity like that, a person that all of them listened to be there and put that added pressure. But I knew that if we could win, we'd get him in the locker room somehow, some way at the end and address him, because that's an exciting moment memory that those players will always remember, not just the comeback victory, but have John Legend in the locker room and to have him say row the boat, even though he is a Buckeye. That was a nice three words coming out of his mouth.
That is cool. PJ Fleck joining us. All right, so you're two games into your third season. How far has the program come in the time since you've arrived?
Well, I think we're getting there. You know, our culture is ever evolving and changing every single day. It's becoming more of a player-led team, and we talk about that. You know, bad teams, nobody leads. Average teams, coaches lead. And elite teams, players lead. This team is becoming more player-led. There's still about 80% of our football team that's still freshmen and sophomores. We're still really young, but the culture is really setting in. You know, it's not just my culture anymore. It's not the coach's culture anymore. It's our program's culture and the player's culture, and that's where we're really developing into in year three.
We're talking to PJ Fleck. You know, you closed out last season with that huge win at Wisconsin, and then you had a blowout win over Georgia Tech in the bowl game. I understand that every season's different, but how much did those wins say about the growth of the program, and did that momentum carry over into the offseason?
Well, I think every season's its own entity. I don't really believe in carrying over momentum from one year to the next because it is its own individual entity and individual season. But one thing I will say is it brings validity. You know, everybody's looking for validity with a new coach, a new culture, no matter what program you're in the first few years. And you have to be able to provide that in the first few years or you start to lose support pretty quick. And I felt like the end of last year, of the last four games that we played, we were able to provide proof of what we were able to do with the youngest team in America. We were doing things that hadn't been done since 1994, with beating Wisconsin at Camp Randall in a very convincing way and having a very convincing win over Purdue and winning our bowl game by the largest margin of victory in the history of the program. So when you're able to do that with the youngest team in America, with a lot of freshmen playing, it starts to show that here's what we're going to do, here's where we're going into the future, and it starts to bring that validity to our fans, to our alumni, to our state, and to our administration that here's our plan, here's what it looks like, and it starts to show the proof.
Minnesota head football coach PJ Fleck is joining us here in the jungle. Now, you've talked about how you like to have a theme for the season. This year, it's connected to movies. What's the theme, and what's the thinking behind it?
Well, the thing is to keep it fun. You know, football's fun. I think sometimes we lose track of that. We coach because we love to educate and teach, and we love the game of football. We coach a game for a living, and, you know, these are 2019 millennials. It's a different generation than maybe you and I were when we were growing up, and whatever's new today is old tomorrow, and everything's instant, and, you know, you got to keep things fresh. So to keep their focus, you know, we talk about a movie each week, and last week it was Indiana Jones, and we talked about how, because we had to go out west, well, he travels everywhere, whether it's Egypt or wherever he's going. I mean, he can go out there and do it, and he doesn't have all these weapons at times. He's got to be smarter, and he's got to be able to find a better way to do things. And so we really just kind of connect, you know, ourselves with a movie that's based on what we need to be able to do to win. And it just keeps it fresh every single week. It really kind of separates what happened the week before to what's happening this week, really draws a line in the sand so you can separate it so there's no overlap. And that's what we're working on doing.
We're talking to PJ Fleck. Now, PJ, you and I have talked so many times over the years, and we always talk about language. One of the words that keeps coming up now is the word how. The word how. Why is that an important word to you as a coach?
Well, because it doesn't really matter what your title is or what you do. I mean, a lot of people get put in a position, whether they earned it or not, they have a title. And I think we value so many titles in our society, maybe overvalue titles. It's how you do your job. It's how you do something. It's how you live your life. It's the story of your life. It's the Necton mentality, Prefontaine Pace, Armor's Alliance, the unconquerable will, your heart, your spirit, your passion, your want to. That's why football is one of the greatest games ever. Because it doesn't matter how big or tall or strong or fast you are. If you don't have the will, the unconquerable will to be the best player and the best teammate you can be, your team's not going to be the best team. And we keep focusing on the word how, the best we possibly can. How we do things matters, because on Saturdays, usually the best team finds a way to win. And we might not have all the five-star recruits in the world. That's okay. But we need to find a way to become the best team every single week that happens to be on the field on Saturdays.
PJ Fleck, my guest, for a couple more moments. Now, in the offseason, you had a couple of assistants join other programs. One was going back to his alma mater. The other received an assistant head coaching job. Seems to me a lot of head coaches might not like that, but you're in favor of that. You want your guys to move on. So how much pride do you take in growing the tree, so to speak, and then taking the row the boat culture to other places?
Well, I love it. I love when our assistants, go chase their dreams. And there's two types of people. There's one that allow other people's dreams to happen, and there's others that you make your own dream happen. You know, and when you're an assistant coach, you're helping a head coach make his dream possible, right, by supporting him and doing everything you can to help him become the best head coach he can be. And you're helping each other. You know, my job as a head coach is to serve my assistant. I know that sounds crazy because you think it's the other way around, but I do everything I can to make them the best they possibly can be and take whatever they can possibly take from me and then move on with that. I want them to grow, learn. I want guys to be head coaches. You know, when I interview coaches, I ask them, where do you want to be? What are your dreams? What are your goals? How can I help you if you come work for me? And most of them say, I want to be a head coach. I said, I can help you do that. And I want you to do that. And I want you to learn as much as you possibly can about how I run a program and how we run a program. And you're going to like things and probably not like things. And then I want you to take that with you and then go somewhere else and continue to grow your tree. And then take the row the boat culture with you of serving and giving somehow, some way. Put it in the back of your mind and use it to however you want to use it into the future. But I love hiring really young assistants, giving them their shot, doing what we can to develop them throughout all the stages, academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually throughout our program, and then having their dreams go come true somewhere else as well. And if they can come true here, we want them to stay as long as they possibly want. I love when our assistants stay, but I also understand when they need to go. And I think some people, we hold on too tight at times. But I never want to limit my staff. I want their dreams to come true. And that's one thing we constantly preach in our program.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So a quick follow-up. You obviously want your players to grow and improve. You want your staff to grow and improve. But at the same time, you're looking to do the same thing yourself. So how different are you as a coach now than when you first arrived at Minnesota?
I think I'm way different. I think Heather's really helped me become the best person I can be, the best husband and the best father, the best coach. My staff has helped me do that. I think I'm way more aware of everything that happens in the program. I think that I'm a lot more comfortable with my coordinators and really can take care of the culture. I consider myself the cultural coach. And, you know, I don't let a lot of the smaller things at times bother me as much. We have a certain way of how we do things and how we respond to different events. But I think I'm a little bit more poised than I used to be. You're obviously more experienced. And I think the more experience you have, the more you can keep changing. And I think you're ever evolving. You know, I meet with a lot of coaches in the off season. There's a lot of coaches I continue to meet with every single year. And we talk about how we're evolving, how we're changing, what we're doing differently with the times. But I think that if you're not changing, you're going to get passed. You know, football is different in 2019 than it was in 2009. And I mean from everything, from recruiting to the practice schedules, to conditioning, to how you treat your student athletes, to the experiences they have, to the moments and memories they create. I want them to create these moments and memories because nothing lasts forever. Whether it's me being a head coach or them being student athletes, nothing lasts forever. So if we can create those moments and memories through experiences they have, that's our job as educators.
PJ Fleck, what a great conversation. Minnesota Golden Gophers head coach in his third season there. They are 2-0 on the season, coming off that win in double OT over Fresno State and hosting Georgia Southern Saturday. PJ, I appreciate you and that conversation as always. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Jim. Row the boat, Sky Mile, go Gophers. Thanks a lot.
You got it, PJ. Well done. I've had a number of conversations with PJ Fleck over the years. That's one of my favorites. All right. 1-800-636-8686. You can respond to that if you want. We can talk Patriots if you want. When we come back, Jason Lockenfora joins us. So we're doing that next. After that, on the back end, lots of telephone time for you. Phone lines will be open. Also, in hour number three, we're talking Astros baseball. Michael Brantley, I want to talk about Justify, who won the Triple Crown, but maybe should not have been allowed to run in the Triple Crown. We will get into that story. Michael Young was my podcast guest, episode 95 of the Jim Rome Podcast. I'm really eager to reset that. He was awesome. Showed up in a great, great way. All of that is coming up next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome, JLC, when we return.